Okay, today I want to talk about the topic of Basar B'Chalaf. The first time we are introduced into the sugya of Basar B'Chalaf in this week's parasha. Avraham takes in the Malachim, the three Malachim, Vayimaher, Avraham, Oyel El Sar, Vayim Ahari, Shloishkin, Kemachsel, Lushi, Vasiyugois, prepare some matzahs. Vil HaBokor Rots Avraham. Ah! So what does this mean? This means that this is going to be a fleishik meal. Avraham was preparing for the malachim fleishiks. We're going to sit in the fleishik dining room. We're going to bring out the fleishik kalim because it says bokar. Bokar is meat. There's no two ways around it. We're not dealing with oif, poultry. Vil ha bokor rots av vaykach ben bokor rach v'toy v'aytina lanar v'aymeher la'asayis so he shachted, he brought out tongues. And then it says something shocking, something not even a child in cheder would do. Okay, it says the next thing he did was vayika chema v'cholav, cream and milk.
That's only if it's cooked together.
Cream and milk. Cream and milk. Uven abokra asher osa vayitain lifnehem. And he sat there, he stood upon them, Vayhu Omer Aleihem Tachas Oeitz Vayechelu. Basar B'Chalaf. Hayitochin Basar B'Chalaf. So Avraham was setting them up for failure. Why was he setting them up? So what does Chazal tell us? This was the way Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take the Torah for Klal Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim, the Malachim said, what business do you have taking away our Torah? Moshe said to the Malachim, you're not observant. Let's get real here. Who's the one that is Shomer Torah Mitzvos? It's Klal Yisrael. You don't observe the Torah Mitzvos. You Malachim, I know you went to visit Avraham, and it says in the Pasuk that Avraham gave you Ben Bokar, and then he gave you cholov and chema. And don't tell me first you ate the milk and then you ate the meat and you washed out your mouth in the middle. Because the order of the pasuk is first the bakar and then the chema v'cholov. And doesn't say, and Avram was oymed aleihem. There was no break. There was no 6-hour gap. So this is something which all of the commentators are very excited about. We have here Basar B'Chalaf and the Malachim when Nichshol and Basar B'Chalaf. Avraham Avinu, he served in Basar B'Chalaf. Okay, so this is a topic. A lot of the Sfarim that like to talk about halacha, they use this as a source to talk about the sugya of Basar B'Chalaf. Yeah. Is what I want to do. I prepared today from two different sources. One is the Kosher Kitchen. It's a beautiful, very popular book that is published by Art Scroll and describes pretty much how to kasher, Binyamin Frost, Rabbi Binyamin Frost. He, before he wrote this sefer, he wrote the laws of kashrus. It's basically a summary of some of the basic yesodes of Yerideya. And then he put out this other book called The Kosher Kitchen, which teaches you and tells you of all of the things you should be aware about in a kosher kitchen and how to kasher every single thing that you have in your kitchen according to halacha. And there he has a very nice discussion of how, what are the rules, the guidelines to using one oven for both milchiks and fleishiks at the same time, or bezeh achar zeh. And he goes into great detail all the various laws, and as well, while I had in front of me all of those journals when we were learning about Bris Milah, I found here a journal from 1996 by Rabbi Howard Jachter on the same topic of cooking milk and meat in one oven, and he goes through the same issues, and each article is a little different. Yeah.
He's the Rav of the Sephardic Shul Tina, and he's also a Rebbe at TABC.
And he teaches.
Quite a guy.
Okay. Rebbe Torah Academy of Bergen County. Lecturer, Drisha Institute for Jewish Education. That's women, right? That's Institute for Women. That's and he's a member of the Beth Din, of Elizabeth.
Okay, he does 500 gittin a year.
Wow. 500 gittin a year. That's frightening.
What he says, that's what he told me.
That's frightening.
When he used to daven with me in shul years ago.
500 a year.
Wow.
Ooh.
Shameful.
It's become a style.
He's Rabbi Tokay's son-in-law.
Ooh, okay. Frightening.
Son-in-law? Rabbi Tokay's son-in-law. From my son.
Okay, so this is the topic of this. So what are the issues? What are the issues? So let's work backwards. I always like going backwards. What is the bottom line? Is it mutter if you have one oven? Are you allowed to use one oven for milchiks and fleishiks? So first of all, you have to be aware of two things. First of all, just because something theoretically may be mutter, you have to be practical. If you live in a home with a lot of children and there's a lot of cooking going on and a lot of gas, it's inevitable that the oven's going to be filthy dirty. There's going to be spills and splatters, and sometimes, even though technically we're going to see that it's very possible to actually cook and bake milk and meat in one conventional oven that we all have in our homes at the same time, but practically, if the oven is filthy, dirty, and there are a lot of things going on at the same time, it's just not very practical. And all the place can advise that if you can, don't, because you're setting yourself up for a lot of trouble if you bake, or you warm a pizza, and you use the same oven to prepare meat and chicken, you're going to run into a lot of problems. So if you can, if you could afford, you should have two separate ovens, or just don't have an oven for milk. Many people do not need to have an oven for milchiks. Many people, a toaster oven serves all of their milchdikin needs, unless they bake cheesecakes and they have lasagna in there, and then they indeed they have a problem. So then there are definitely solutions, but generally it is advised not to do so. However, what are the issues? Can that be done? So halachah is working backwards. The answer is yes, it can be done. L'chatchila, it's best not to do it at the same time. L'chatchila, the best way to do it according to all poskim is first of all to designate the oven as one or the other. Either designate the oven as fleishiks or as milchiks. Most people would designate most of the things that they do in the oven are fleishiks. So the oven has been designated as basar. That's the designation. And that gives you the advantage. Anytime that you prepare meat in the oven, you can do it even without a cover. You can expose the meat. The steam can rise. Aroma can fill up the oven. There is no problem. Then when you want to use the opposite, the milk, that has to be covered. Now, why does it have to be covered? So we'll come to that in a few moments. It has to be covered, but that's the general rule. Whatever the designation has been set aside, it can be open. Whatever it's not been designated for, it can only be cooked if it's in an enclosed environment. If you want to warm up a piece of pizza, it has to be completely wrapped in aluminum foil. A bagel pizza or a regular pizza, or you want to warm up something that's milchiks, you can put it in the pan, and it has to be fully covered. Can you put it on the same grates? Iker hadin, yes. L'chatchila, you should put aluminum foil on the grate because the grates have been designated as being set aside for basar. Okay, then now that is mutter me'iker hadin.
What about a time interval?
A time interval. You don't need it. You can do it one after. Technically, you can do it one after the other.
Is it called?
Provided that it's clean. Provided that the oven is perfectly clean. If the oven is not perfectly clean, then we're going to discuss there certain issues. L'chatchila, the next madrega, and the next, we'll come to the problem in a moment, the next madrega is to wait 24 hours in the Hanani. If you wait 24 hours, then any belia in the oven is no longer a deraisa, it becomes midrabanan. So you take away one level of one problematic. Another chumrah is to wait in 24 hours, and then also, not even wait 20, even if you don't wait 24 hours, is to run the oven at its highest setting for 1 hour. This is what Rav Moshe says. You don't have to do a self-clean cycle. Self-clean cycle can take a couple of hours till the oven warms up, until it opens up. But even just to put the oven on its highest normal setting for 1 hour is also a form of kashering the oven, and you could then go from one to the other. Another
easy oven, so
you're tam lefgam. But that praise tam lefgam is not enough. You have to do tam lefgam plus. You have to wait. Tam lefgam can help you. You don't have to wait 24 hours. If you do tam lefgam in the hotels, they don't have time. When I took a tour and I went to the Ask or You seminar, they took us to the Hilton Hotel, and the people there were some very sharp people looking to find problems. they were looking for trouble, and they didn't let them get away with anything. And one first question was, they took us on a day when they were preparing for a dinner. That evening, there was a major dinner for some major organization in the Hilton Hotel, and they were preparing. I want to mention this to you, that the hotel, the kitchen is the size literally of a football stadium.
Wow.
And they were preparing that night for a dinner of 1,000 people. I don't know, 1,000, but some very, very large crowd. It could be 1,000 people. And the Hilton Hotel gave them literally 3 tables. The amount of space they gave them in the kitchen was half the size of this room, of this section that we're in. So that's how big the whole section was given to the caterer to prepare for the kosher event that night, even though the kitchen was literally as big as a football stadium. And they showed us how they cordoned everything off. And so the first question was, there are steam pipes running throughout the entire kitchen. And those steam pipes come into the utensils, come into the equipment that they're using to prepare for the kosher dinner. And that steam is trafed, because that steam is also passed into all the non-kosher parts of the kitchen. So the question was, first of all, how come they don't wait 24 hours? So they said, we don't have time. It's not possible to wait 24 hours, because last night there was a tray for dinner. And there was a breakfast also this morning. So they first gave us access to the kitchen at 9 o'clock. And the dinner is taking place in the evening. We have to be ready at 6 o'clock. So we don't even have 12 hours. We want 24 hours. We don't even have 12 hours. So the solution is Tam Lifgam. We pour detergent, bleach, or other types of detergent into all of the kalim, and that accelerates into the steam, where everything that they need to use, they smear it with detergent and hot water, hot boiling hot water mixed with detergent, so that accelerates the 24-hour period of time. You don't have to wait 24 hours. That's not a lechatchila. That's only a bidiyavet. So every time you go to a dinner, one of these hotels, you should realize, ruba deruba, even on the good hashem, they're making use of very, very great, not great, they're making use of kulis in order to provide you with some good food. Okay, that's number one. So now, let's go back. So here we have, the next thing to wait is to wait 24 hours. And then another chumrah would be to put the oven on its highest setting for 1 hour. Another thing would be to wait to do a self-clean cycle. Because the self-clean cycle reaches a temperature that's much higher than any possible Kabbalah Kachach Polto.
And then, you have to do that after 24 hours?
Yes, lechatchila you should wait 24 hours.
Right,
but the oven you can do it right away. Lechatchila you can do it right away, and you also wait 24 hours.
Yeah,
so as long as you have.
The Kehillah Kashrus insists to do that.
Yeah.
Lechatchila, even from glatt kosher to there, what's under their hashgacha. In other words, if a plant is making stuff that's not under their hashgacha, even though it's glatt kosher,
doesn't matter.
The Nevada or Bonham or Flatbush and whoever else, they don't care. If you're going to make stuff for them, they make you burn out the oven, wait 24 hours.
24 hours.
So whatever we made for them had to be done first thing on a Monday morning.
Okay, so you have to wait.
From block to block.
The 24 hours can even be afterwards. The 24 hours doesn't have to be before. Lechatchila you do before. The 24 hours is a separate thing. You burn out the oven, and you also wait 24 hours.
Okay, so
these are the general rules. So generally, in a conventional oven that people have in their home today, the accepted practice is some people are makbid, they will not use the oven for any milchiks whatsoever. There are many people, he brings over here, the name of her, of Herschel Schachter, he would tell people all the time that you can use it for both. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait, you don't have to do anything, as long as the oven is clean, the oven is designated as a kosher oven, you can, the oven is clean, once you finish, you can put in milchiks, just whatever you're cooking, milchiks should be covered. And Rav Moshe also seemed to say that this is okay. Rav Moshe, I think, l'chatchil, he wanted the person should at least put the oven on its highest setting for 1 hour. And that certainly is going to be okay to go from fleishiks to milchiks.
Same applies for Pesach also, for the
no, Pesach, no. Pesach, we are more machmir. He's saying very good.
We're more machmir
for Pesach. But if there was a chiddush is, what is it?
We're not.
There are really three levels. Now you're touching upon something that's very, very good. There are really three levels of kashrus. There is kosher versus non-kosher. Go to a factory. Factory comes in, and now you want to give a hechsher on a certain product. and they produce this product for the secular, for the non-Jewish world, and now we're going to do a kosher run. So what is the issue? The issue is one issue: kosher versus non-kosher. That's a very easy to achieve that level. The next madrega is basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav is more complex because basar b'chalav is a chiddush. Basar is mutter, chalav is mutter. Yeah, when the two come together, it's dangerous. It's aser. So it's a chef. So the standards in Shulchan Aruch for basar b'chalav are higher than the standards for kosher versus non-kosher. And the highest madrega is chametz. Chametz is aser b'mashahu. So there, it's in a different league to itself. Halacha l'maaser of Heschel Shachter and many parts can say that you can prepare milchiks in a fleishtika oven without any kashering, especially today in our ovens which have a vent, so it's not considered. We'll come to those issues, the two major issues of the lumnus in a moment. So out of the conventional ovens, the heat is not trapped inside. By law, there's no such thing today as buying an oven that does not have a vent which allows heat and steam to escape through the vent. So there's no pressure cooker, there's no pressure inside. So there's very little problem, very little can go wrong, and therefore it's even a chumra in and of itself that you should cover the milchiks that you're baking. So if you want to warm up a pizza, you want to warm up something of the like, and it's completely covered, there's really no problem whatsoever putting it into a fleishtig oven. If the thing that you're going to make is going to be exposed, like a cheesecake, or you're preparing lasagna that's cheese and things like that inside, and is going to be exposed, that is more problematic. Not that it can't be done, but l'chatchila, it has to be covered. If it can't be covered, then l'chatchila should not be made. If people want to make it on an open oven, so then there are many that are matter, just put on a clean, you do it yourself, self-cleaning. It's like, I know someone, a very big Talmud Chacham, and he has a lot of children and they like pizza, and the pizza has to be made the way that the pizza has to be open without any covering. So he told me that they use the oven for both milchiks and fleishiks, and they just do a self-cleaning cycle. He said there's no big deal, it takes 4 hours. You don't have to do it 6 hours, you can do the partial cycle for 3 hours, even 2 hours, and they use it for fleishiks. And then when they want to use it for milchiks, let's say they only need it for fleishiks, they can use the fleishiks for end of the week, for Thursday, Friday. But let's say for 2 days a week they have fled milchiks, so it's no big deal. Sunday afternoon, his wife puts on the self-cleaning cycle, it cleans out the oven, and then for the next 2 days...
Every month they have to replace the self-cleaning.
It burns out, the starter gets burned out. So you have to stock up on starters. Once your starter breaks a couple of times, so you yourself can learn how to do it. It's not so complicated to replace the starter, you know what you're doing. And so he told me that he puts it on a self-cleaning cycle, and that is good. Now, that also, you know, is controversial, because there's a halacha in Shulchan that you're not supposed to change from milchiks to fleishiks.
Right.
Unless you're kashering it. So do we apply that rule to the oven? So all the points conversion, this is what he brings out by Frost, and he brings it over here also, that since Me'ikar Hadin, you can really even bake in an oven milchiks and fleishiks together. Me'ikar Hadin, in our conventional ovens, you can put in the oven at the same time
a
pot of fleishiks, because there's a vent, and there's this fleishiks, and there's milchiks, and at the same time, the ikra, then you can put the two together. So people are machna. We don't do b'vasachas. We do it b'zeachazeh. Or we wait 24 hours, and there's steam. There are many coolers. So therefore, everyone already has come around that there's no... What?
The steam from the chicken.
Yeah.
Goes into the
military, aren't they? Not necessarily. We'll discuss that in a few moments. So we'll discuss.
Okay.
Okay, so let's discuss what are the issues. Okay, so we have all the madrigos.
Also a different problem with microwave.
Okay, so now what are the issues? There are two issues. There are two complex issues. Here is where the RJJ journal comes in. The kosher kitchen explains the details halacha l'maisa. The kosher kitchen is a little bit more machmir. It's tilted to a chumrah a little bit more so than what it says in the RJJ journal. They strongly advise against doing this, but it's mutter when you need to do so, like we explain. What is the lumnus? What are the potential pitfalls? So the two areas are Recha and Zeya. They're two very, very different concepts. They're different scientific concepts. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin talks about a machlokes between Rav and Levi. Is Recha Milsa? Recha Lav Milsa. The discussion of the Gemara is where you have an oven. You have an oven. Now the oven the Gemara is discussing is a closed oven. There are no vents. There are no vents in this oven. It's completely closed. And you have two pieces of meat. Both of them are exposed. These are salads. And they're cooking inside of the oven. A piece of meat produces what's called reicha. Reicha is aroma. It's not tangible. Reicha. That's the next topic of discussion. But the Gemara in Masechta Chulin does not. That's the lamed. That's what we're going to discuss. The Gemara in Masechta Chulin does not mention zeya. In fact, there's no mention anywhere in Shas. There's no mention anywhere in Shas b'nogeya zeya. It's mentioned when Hilchas Machshirin in a mikvah and in the laws of Tumah, if you have Tumah, you have Zeh coming from a Hech of Tumah, you have something coming to Tumah, we'll come to that in a few moments. But let's talk about Reichemels, you have aroma. Aroma is something which is not visible and it's not tangible. It is fragrance, it is aroma. And you have two pieces of meat that are next to each other. So the Gemara in Masechta Chulin asked the question, what is the halacha? You have two pieces of meat, it's min b'minay, and one piece of meat is producing non-kosher reicha, and there's another kosher meat in the same oven, and obviously it's going to be absorbed. The question is, does it absorb the reicha? So Rav says reicha, reicha milsa. The other piece of meat is treif. The fragrance that comes out from the non-kosher meat is of substance in halacha, and it will render the other piece of meat non-kosher. Levi says mutter. Reicha lav milsa. Rashi Paskin says that the halacha is like Rav. Reicha milsa. The Rambam and the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin like Levi. Reicha lav milsa. Period. So we just finish with the words of the Rambam and the words of the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch. Reicha, if you have a situation where you have two pieces, you have a food, and the food in the oven is giving forth fragrance, you open up the oven, and the oven smells from cholent. You don't bake cholent, but if you open up the oven and it smells from a roast, it smells from lamb chop, whatever you're cooking and baking in the oven, it smells. How can I now take a piece of pizza and put the piece of pizza into this oven? It's going to absorb from the reicha. Well, let's say you're doing the bevasachas at the same time. According to Shulchan Aruch, no problem. Reicha lav milsa. In fact, if you go past a non-Jewish, non-kosher restaurant, as long as it's not basa b'chalav, you're allowed to enjoy the delicious aroma. I used to go on the bus next to a pizza shop, a non-kosher pizza shop, and I used to smell the fragrance of the pizza. And I always... basa b'chalav. It can be basa b'chalav. Eilach nami. So basa b'chalav is more chomor, but not necessarily. Not necessarily, because it's only reicha. Reicha la milsa. Now the problem is the Ramah comes along and says, even though the Mechaber says inochnami reicha, we paskin like Levi reicha la milsa, the Ramah says not so fast. There are certain chumras, and the Ramah says. The minug is, use the word minug, we enachnami, I defer to the shita of the Shulchan Aruch, which is based upon the shita of a lady, which is how the Rambam paskins and how the Rif paskins, not the way other Rishonim paskin, enachnami, reichalav milsa. But let's not get carried away here. The minug is, don't cook meat and milk, bevasachas. Don't bake a piece of pizza with a piece of meat at the same time in the oven when one is giving forth the reicha. Even though technically it's mutter, the minig is to reframe. And then he goes on to say there are other exceptions. Chametz reicha with patsk reicha milsa. So chametz pesach, b'machmir, chametz b'mashu. And also if it is a dover chorif, if the thing that you are cooking produces a reicha that is chorif, onions, spices, then we pass in reicha milsa. And then the big chumra is if it's in a very small area, if it's not ventilated, reicha milsa. So aloch lemaisa, the Ramah is machmer, you should not cook it bevasacha. So that is the what?
You warm up. According to the
Ashkenazim and the Svardim, are you lechatchila?
Put a piece of pizza uncovered.
Yes.
The Ramah says you can't do it. The Ramah says you can't do it. The Mechaber says you can do it. But don't go away yet. That's only because of Reicha. The Ramah says you can do it. The Ramah, you can do it. The Ramah says the meaning is not to do it. The meaning is not to do it. Now, there's another problem. The problem, okay, so that's Reicha. Now comes problem number two, Zeya. What is Zeya? Steam. Steam. Even if the steam is tasteless, the steam is stale, has no fragrance, if there's aroma, that's Reicha. But what happens if there is steam? What status does steam have coming out of...
The Gemara does not talk about Zeya.
Right, so that's the problem. So the Shulchan Aruch does not, the Gemara does not talk about it, but the Ramah talks about it. The different Simon, Tzadi Beis, this is Kuf Ches, but the Ramah talks about Zeya, and the Ramah, not only the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch talks about Zeya. Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Tshuva Sarashva, that if there is Zeya, Zeya is significant and it will make another food treif. If you have meat and meat is producing steam and the steam is going in contact with a piece of food that is milchix or kosher or whatever the situation is, the steam will render the subject into something non-kosher.
So,
the steam itself. The steam, no, not the drops. The steam itself. That's the leniency. The steam itself is something which can prohibit.
If it's not covered,
it's steam. So what about steam from a pot? Same thing. Steam from a pot is the same thing. Where is the steam coming from? It's breaking forth from the inside. Steam has the status of a dover ha'asa. Yes, we're going to come down in a few moments. Yes, that's right. If you put if you have the chutz, so the chutz usually not a problem. The chutz are too high. Right, so we'll come in a few moments. Enoch Nami, steam is a real problem. So here is the problem. The problem is all the poiskim. This is the thrust of the article here by Jachton in the RJ Journal. All of the poiskim. He really summarizes the basic in the Yoredei very, very, very well. The ask is a contradiction. Why is steam different than Reicha? Steam is called Zeya. Reicha is aroma. One has smell, but doesn't have mamashis. The other one has mamashis, but it's vapor. There's no. If you have milk that's boiling and it's producing vapor, and the vapor is just vapor, yet that vapor has the status of cholof, and if it comes in contact with basa, the basa is treif. Why is there a difference between the case of Zeya and the case of Reicha? Furthermore, the Ramah himself, the Ramah is really Seisr himself, because the Ramah is talking about the same exact case. You have a piece of meat and a piece of something that's milchix, and they're in the vicinity. So on the one hand, the Ramah says when it comes to the simon of Reicha, it's kosher. Yet if one of those pieces giving off steam, it's treif. So what is the difference between Zeya? When is there Zeya and when is there Reicha? I'm being very vague. Okay, so here is the basic yesodos. So first of all, there's a chiddush of the Mishkan Es Yaakov, and this is an important halacha and thing to be aware of when it comes to a bidyeved. There are many horror stories that you're not aware of. When you go to a dinner, when you go to a wedding, you do not know what really happened to this food. Right, you don't know. You don't know if this piece of meat fell on the floor. they picked it up. You don't know what really goes on in the kitchen. And then you should know that happens. That happens. You'd be surprised. The things happen, and you would never eat this. Had you known, there are many times there are major shilas, major nightmares that happen in the kitchen. And then Mashkiach gets on the phone and he calls up his supervisor, and then they call up his supervisor until they reach a Rabelski in the OU. And they tell him the story, and they say, well, it's a very big problem, it's a hefsid meruba, so you have nothing else, so we can be soymech on a das yachid, together with another das yachid, and we can put together a whole concoction, the nela it's mutter. You don't realize that when you're eating certain foods, people have made a decision that even though there were many shilas on this piece of food, the rabbanim, the poskim, have decided that it's kosher. And they're not telling you all of the different problems that came about. That's halacha. That's
the problem is they use these kugels
to chatchila. That's the problem.
In other words, they start off with that in mind. That's the problem.
Okay, so here's the tremendous, the Mishkanos Yaakov. The Mishkanos Yaakov says a tremendous chiddush. He says a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, which is something which is taken into consideration b'shas hatcha gadol, when you have a nightmare. Zeya is nothing. Zeya has no halachic status. That what it says, what the Shulchan Aruch quotes to Tshuvas HaRashba is a das yachid. The Gemara only talks about a concept called reicha. Reicha in halacha is significant because you can sense it, and you can sense the aroma. You can there's something there. I smell delicious meat. I smell it, and my piece of pizza is right next to the meat. If I can smell the aroma of the meat, so the pizza also can smell the meat, and it absorbs. But the Gemara never talks about the concept that vapor that has no fragrance. If you're boiling milk, there's milk. Think about it. Milk is boiling. It's reached the temperature, and now it's producing vapor. That vapor is cholov. Why should that vapor be called milk? That's vapor. Milk is milk. Vapor is vapor. It's just evaporation. So he says that even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes this thing called this sugya, which is not in the Gemara, it's only derived from a Mishnah Masechta Machshirin. Some will also want to derive it from a sugya in Hilchos Shabbos about covering a pot on Shabbos. That you're not allowed to cover a pot on open flame because you're cooking. You must have hevel. You want to bring a raya from that sugya. But the Mishnah Yaakov says these mekoros are very weak at best. So therefore, you can be soimich that there's no such thing in halacha of zeya. The only thing halacha is reicha, and if you have a situation where two pots are in vicinity of one another and there's no reicha and there's just zeya, even though the milk is giving off vapor and it's going right into the piece of meat, you can be makel, it's kosher.
So in a steam jacket, he would say there's no problem?
No problem. No one accepts the Mishkanos Yaakov lahalacha. But it's still important to be aware of, because in situations that are very complicated and there are other mitigating factors, this can be added in to be makel. However, who do we pass like? We do halacha b'maaseh passing like the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan, there's an Aruch HaShulchan, and there's a Moshe Feinstein, and there's a Prima Godim. And the basic yesod is the only time you say Zeya is on liquids, they make this distinction. Zeya is only Shaykh on a liquid. If you have a piece of meat, and the meat is giving off steam, it's insignificant. The steam that comes from a piece of meat, we don't give unless the meat is fatty and it's very, very moist and the steam is significant.
Are you cooking it in the sauce?
Of course, then it's the sauce. Then the liquid it becomes milk. So generally, there's a lot of room to be makel when you're dealing with steam that is coming from something which is pretty much a solid.
Or it's dry.
Even though when I look, I do see something coming out of it. I do see some smoke, whatever is coming out of it. That is not called Zeya. Needs to be a liquid. It has to be a liquid in order to be called this. That's another room to be makel. So therefore, now here is another issue which he doesn't talk about this very much, but Rabbi Frost talks about this very much. This is the Sevel Halach. If you have an oven, here's the issue. If you have an oven, a fleishetik oven, and the fleishetik oven you're cooking in open of a pot, and in the oven there is Zeya. Forget about Reicha. There's Zeya. Zeya is coming up, and the Zeya now reaches the top of the oven. When it reaches the top of the oven now becomes, we're going to paskin, not like the Mishkos Yaakov, like all of the paskin, that Zeya Milsa, and the oven now becomes Fleishiks. The walls of the oven are now Fleishiks, because the Zeya has reached the top of the oven. And also another important issue is that's the Yatzelah Dispo. That's another, when you have the hoods on top of the ovens, many times when you have Zeya on top of the ovens, the Zeya, by the time it reaches the hood of the oven, the Zeya is not Yad Soled Espo. I can keep my hand there, I'm not going to get burnt. But in the oven itself, the Zeya is so intense, and the oven is contributing, it is reheating the Zeya, so the top of the oven now becomes Fleishiks. Now here's a another big halachic dilemma, which is machlekes. I take out the meat, I now put in milk. I put milk into the oven, and the milk is not covered. And now zeh is coming out of the milk. So the zeh now is making contact with the top, the wall of the oven. So basically, the top of the oven now is treif. Well, who cares? So it's treif. So what? It's treif. I'm not cooking on the oven. The oven can be treif. What is the oven? What is an oven? Just a wall. It's a metal wall. It's not a problem. Yesterday, the top of the oven reached, absorbed zeya of basar, and now today it's absorbing zeya of chalav. So the wall of the oven is basar b'chalav. Okay, big deal. Problem now is moisture forms on the top, and then some of those moisture drops drip down. So now, since the top of the oven has become treif, because first zeya has made it fleishix, and now zeya has made it milchix, which made it treif. Now any subsequent moisture that drops back into the food is treifal liquid, which will make the food inside treif. Every step, what? And we're dealing with this no shishu. You don't want to come on to bittul. If it happened after the fact, then you can make the calculations and you can be make there was no shishu. How much moisture already, how many drops already fell back inside? Was it significant? Not significant. So here is the issue. First of all, whoever said, like the Mishkos Yaakov, that the steam that it touched the wall of the oven has the koyach to make the wall of the oven into fleishiks? That's the chiddush itself. And then when the milchix comes and makes the, it's going to make it treif. Another, whoever said that Zeya has the koyach to extract yesterday's fleishiks? That's also a Rebbe Chiddush
La'alacha. Can we say that if you have a kumkum of water and it sprays?
But that's on the fire. Okay, no, that's where the actual boss of chav actually goes in. So here's the Chiddush. That's actually cooking the mamoshes of meat and milk. So here's the Rebbe Chiddush. Just because you're going to say that the wall of the oven is treif. Whoever said that zeya steam has the power to extract? If I have a piece of meat here, and I have a pot of milk, and the pot of milk is producing steam, and the steam goes right into the meat, oh, very good. Zeya can impart the steam that comes from milk can impart its fleishig, it's milk. The milk dikos steam is going to go right into the meat, so the meat now is a combination of basar b'chalav. But whoever gave zeya steam the power to extract tarfus or something from the wall of a utensil? There's a distinction between the wool of a utensil and food. Zeya can impart its flavor into food and into a utensil. But zeya cannot necessarily extract flavor that is absorbed in the wool of a utensil. So therefore you can be there for this room to be makel.
So it's falling back down?
Exactly. So it's falling back down. It's kosher. Exactly. That's exactly the argument I'm making, that it's kosher. This that we're machmer to say, I'm trying to make an argument, and this is what the Paiskim said, that me'ikar hadin, there's strong ground to allow a person to use the same oven for basar b'chalof, even b'ze'ach hazeh, even when they're both exposed. What are you concerned about? Yesterday, I cooked meat, and the meat, the zeya, went up into the wall of the oven, and it imparted its flavor into the wall of the oven. I took out the meat. Today I have cholov, and the cholov is producing steam, and the steam is going up to the top of the oven, and it's imparting its flavor. So it makes the wall of the oven treif, and now it's going to extract some of that tarfus and drop back down into the dish that I'm cooking. Zeya is not so powerful. Zeya may have the koyach to impart the flavor from where it's derived, but zeya does not have the power to extract a flavor that is in a wall of an oven and bring it back down somewhere else.
Do the deflation to the milk.
Directly.
Even when it hits the top?
Yeah, so he'll make the wall of the oven treif. Well, who cares?
You have the oven once, and you have meat here.
Outside, you're talking about another case. You're talking.
No, I'm talking in the oven. You have both. No, except flavor.
Yes, if it's exposed.
So the zeya can go hit the top and come back down.
Not necessarily.
It's,
no.
Not only as tarfus, as the buser that we enochinami, it can't make a trade, but it can make inflation.
It can only make it fleishig if it's direct, not if there is a mechitza. Not a bounce off the side. No, that's exactly the point. So this is another reason to be makel. These are all the reasons why we're so machmer. Everyone is machmer on this sinyan. Because first of all, if the oven is not clean, there's going to be reicha, whether you like it or not. And if the oven is not clean, you'll be shocked there's going to be zeya. And the zeya is going to directly go right into the body. The zeya has a way of traveling in ways that trouble the mind. If the oven is not clean, you're looking for trouble. But even when the oven is clean, technically there are many reasons why it's not an issue to cook even bivasachas basar b'cholof. We paskin reicha lav milsa. Zeya, is it a problem? It's a very big dilemma. It doesn't say anywhere that it's a problem. We're machmer like the Shulchan Aruch that zeya is a problem. But even if zeya is a problem, zeya is only a problem when it's direct, when the zeya goes directly into the other food. To go to say that it's indirect, that it leaves over some flavor in the wall of the oven, and the next day a new flavor is going to extract it, that ad kedei kach zeya such could koyach. That's not so simple. Halacha l'maisa, we're machmir. We don't do it. We, the halacha l'maisa, all the pesukim said that you should do a self kashering. You should kashrut for an hour, or el chol apachos when you cook the other type, but the oven has not been designated; it should be covered. So even if chas v'shalom something does drop from the top of the oven and come back down, it's going to be intercepted by the aluminum foil. All right. So these are some of the basic issues. We'll stop with this.